Father, thank you for your goodness. You've been so good to us, Father. You've been so graceful, so merciful, so kind, so loving, so willing to forgive. You have provided for us. You have protected us. You have saved. You have encouraged. You have guided us in the pathway of life through the valleys of the shadow of death and through the mountaintop experiences. You have been with us every step of the way. We thank you again this morning that we get to come into your presence to worship. We thank you, Father, in America, it's the freedoms that we enjoy that allow us to come to church. But we pray for our great nation, Father. We pray for our nation's leaders, our president, our Supreme Court, judges and governors, senators and representatives all over the land. We pray for our local government, our mayor, and the city council. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our leaders would be people that seek the face of God. We pray that our leaders would be people that invite you to direct us in our nation and in our states and in our cities. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our churches would be hospitals for the hurting and the sick, the weary, the tired, and the lost. Oh, Father, we pray in 2015 that you would do mighty things, that people would be redeemed, set free from the shackles and the burdens and the sin of life, set free in Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that greater things than these ye shall do, Jesus said, we would see them even in our midst this year. And we pray that around the globe, as far away as Pakistan, India, and beyond, that people would see the hand of God and bow and worship Jesus. Father, thank you for what you have done this past year. Thank you for what you're doing now. Thank you for what you're going to do this year. We praise you, Father. We give you the glory. We love you. We need you. There's some hurting people right here in our church family. There's some hurting people, very sick people, lonely people, struggling people. Father, we pray, comfort, direct, encourage, guide, heal. Oh, Lord, we need you. We surrender to you. We invite you, just take control of our churches, take control of our lives. And so thank you, Father, for each person here. Thank you for those that maybe wanted to come and could not. Thank you for churches gathering all over our communities. Thank you for who will come to the second service, Father. May we hear from you as we have come to celebrate and worship you, our Heavenly Father. I pray it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, we started on a little journey together called Moralistic Therapeutic Deism. And I know that some of you looked at that and probably thought, oh boy, big words, fancy words, what's he going to do now? And some of you, I know, because I've heard from several of you, went home afterwards and looked up the MTD, the Moralistic Therapeutic Deism, and you began to learn, probably could teach better than I could. We're going to revisit that a little bit again today. And I want to revisit it again today for a little while to explain again what it is, the rationale of some people's thinkings, and to encourage us again not to be confused about all of the different, let's say, opportunities. If we get nothing else, brothers and sisters, I just pray that we get from this that Jesus is the way. the truth, and the life. And I showed you some verses last week, one that talked about from James that said, you believe in one God? James said, good, but the demons do too. And that is a good start for us. But we need to include in our belief system a surrendered faith to Jesus. And so I want us to take away from this today the truth of Jesus. And so I'm going to spend a little time on this, and we're going to spend a few minutes at the close of this service to invite some folks to come forward. Some to be baptized today, some to be baptized and be welcomed as new members. A bunch of people have gone through the membership class, and we're going to welcome those, some in this service, some in the second service. And so we're going to take time for that today too. I told you last week that moralistic therapeutic deism is a new term that was introduced by a Christian sociologist Christian Smith and Melinda Lundquist to describe what they consider to be the common religious beliefs among American young people. And I said last week, and I will say it again, it's more than young people that think this way. And I told you the 5 points that they gleaned when they interviewed thousands of young people, thousands of people. They glean these points. Number one, a God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life here on earth. I'm going to break these down for you in a minute. I'm going to mention all 5 of them first. Number 2, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other as taught in the Bible and by most world religions. Number 3, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. Number 4, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve problems. And number 5, good people go to heaven when they die. These are 5 beliefs that these sociologists have gleaned from interviewing thousands of people. This is how we think today. Many. This is how we think. And you might be saying, why do I care? Why do we care about this MTD? Why do I even care about non-believers or anything else for that matter? Why do we even care? And I would simply suggest to us today, brothers and sisters, I believe that people really are searching for the truth. I believe that we all have a God-sized vacuum in us, and we really are searching for the truth. We're searching for something, and we'll grasp onto something. And I propose, why not offer the truth? Why not help people to understand the truth of Jesus Christ? After all, it was Jesus that said, and the truth will set you free. So why do we care about MTD or atheists or non-believers or agnostics or anything else? Because I believe inside, deep down inside, people want to know the truth of Jesus. Why else do we even care if a few million folks describe this idea of MTD? Well, maybe it's because of what Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13. When he was talking about the kingdom of heaven, he said it's like this in Matthew 13, 45 and 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Maybe, friends, it's I and I hope the church feels so strongly about the kingdom of heaven, we just want others to know about the kingdom of God. Maybe that's why I bring it up. Maybe that's why we care. Let me break down just a little bit these 5 points before we close with some scripture. Point number 1 again. A God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life here on earth. That is a good place to start. But remember what James said, the demons believe in God too. And God wants us to believe in His Son. Of course He wants us to believe in Him. And all kinds of people say, yes, I believe in God. But so do the Pharisees. And so did Nicodemus when God told him, you must be born again. And James said, and so does the devil. And so believing in God is good. But God wants us to subscribe to not only believing that He exists, but to subscribe to and embrace and surrender to His Son. He provided to us His Son so that we might have access to Him. And so believing in God is good. But we also must embrace and surrender to His Son. There is one Creator God. Many people subscribe to that. Not everybody, of course. But there is one Creator God who did in fact create us and everything around us in the universe. His name is I Am. He told Moses, remember the story? Who do I tell them that sent me? Tell them, I Am sent you. His name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is El Shaddai. We call Him Father. Number two, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other as taught in the Bible and by most world religions. The Bible does teach us the golden rule. Remember? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The Bible does instruct us to love our neighbors, to be kind, to pray for our enemies. It tells us not to steal, not to hate. It tells us that we shouldn't be sexually immoral and many other things that are good for us. But I submit to you the difference for us, brothers and sisters of Christ, is Christ followers do this because we love the Lord. Because we want to follow Him. Because He's bid us, come, follow me. Christ followers live this way because we love the Lord. Number three. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. May I just say that I fear our society's motto is do whatever you got to do to be happy. Would you agree? Our society probably says get whatever you got to get to feel good about yourself. That's what society says. And that's in gleaning from thousands of people, they've come to this conclusion that our thought is the central goal of life is to be happy and feel good about yourself. God does want you to feel good about yourself in Christ. There is a difference whether I feel good about just gathering things in the ways of the world or I feel good about who I am and where I'm going because of Christ. Society says, you aren't happy? Get some more stuff. You aren't happy? Cheat on your spouse. Society says, do what you got to do to be happy. Get what you got to get to be fulfilled. You know what Jesus said? He said, deny yourself. Take up your cross on a daily basis and come follow me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that in the world we're going to have trouble. He said if you're genuinely going to follow me, if you're going to passionately follow hard after me, the Master, you're going to have trouble. But then He says, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. He said to His disciples, you're going to have trouble and you're going to see persecution, but take heart, they persecuted Him first. And so we've got this notion, and there's nothing wrong with being happy. I was thinking about this about 4 o'clock the other day when I was thinking about pictures of pastors from yesteryear, always looking stern and staunchy. Am I right? And sometimes I suppose that I'm that way too. But there's nothing wrong with being happy. But the premise here is the central goal of life is to be happy and feel good about yourself. Do what you got to do and get what you got to get there. And Jesus is saying, come to me and I will take care of those things in life. That's a big difference whether we're happy in Christ or trying to make ourselves happy in the world and with the world's stuff. There's a big difference. Number four, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve problems. Is that what we subscribe to? Well, I guess if I have a problem, I'll call on Him. And until then, I'll just go it on my own. That's what moralistic therapeutic deism has boiled down to. There's probably a God out there that created everything, probably wants me to be good. And if I need Him, he might even be out there to answer. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve problems. You know what I think of? Genie in a bottle. I need something, God, go ahead and grant it. Puppet on a string. We've reduced God in this approach to nothing more than rubbing the old genie bottle, pop, poof, out He comes, grant me a wish or two. I got a problem or two, so let's take care of it. That's what I see in number four. Reduced Him from the God of the universe, the Creator of all things, including salvation, and loving us so much He sent His Son to die for us. We've reduced Him to something more than a problem solver. Oh, He can solve problems, to be sure. When we trust Him completely and rest in Him fully, you will have the peace that passes understanding that'll take care of a lot of problems. When I think of number four, I think of things like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son. Does that sound like somebody that doesn't want to be involved? Or wants to be detached from you except for if you've got a problem? I think of the Garden of Eden when in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve knew that every day they were going to be in the fellowship with the Heavenly Father, with Almighty God. Every day they were in His presence. That doesn't sound like somebody that doesn't want to be involved in my life. I think of the Bible and all the stories of there of an intimate, loving Father. It's like my relationship with my children or my grandchildren. Intimate and loving. That's how God is to us too. Not come to me when you got a problem. I'll see what I can do about it. Number five. Good people go to heaven when they die. Most of you have heard me say this over and over and probably don't care to hear it again, but it happens to fit right here. I've now done 110 funerals since I've been a pastor. And I don't recall being at one yet, whether I attend one at another church or the funeral home or I'm milling around the foyer with people. I've never been at one yet that I haven't heard, they're in a better place now. And I praise God for the hope of heaven. But Jesus is the way to heaven. My point is, I hear that over and over and over because that's what we want to embrace. Good people go to heaven when they die. That's what we want to embrace, and that's what God wants. He wants people in heaven with Him. He's not willing. Remember what Peter wrote? God is not willing that any should go to hell. He says it this way. God is not willing that any should perish, but that we'd come to repent and know Him. That's the heart of God. But this premise that all good people go to heaven when they die is from the enemy. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so the enemy has instilled in us, just do good to your neighbor. Just be a good person. Matter of fact, even you could show up at church once in a while, you'll be all right. That's from the enemy, to be complacent where we're at without being born again. Jesus is the one, not Jim, not the Free Methodist Church, not the next pastor downtown. Jesus is the one that said to the religious people, you must be born again or you will never see the kingdom of heaven. And so we have this idea. It's a wonderful idea. Good people go to heaven when they die. Remember Matthew 7:21 that I quoted to you last week? Jesus said, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he or she that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. 17 people are going to become members here today. Praise God for that. Church membership doesn't get you to heaven. Hope that doesn't surprise you, but it doesn't. Baptism doesn't either. The thief on the cross didn't go through baptism, and he was assured of a place in glory because of his faith in the Christ, the Messiah. People, listen to me for a second. I got to wrap this up. Time's getting away. People that have not been born again, that have not surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and are living for Him, don't go to heaven. That's the words of Jesus. You must be born again, Jesus said. We talked about some things last fall, and I reminded us of Hebrews that said, without holiness, no one will see God. We're only going to be holy when we've been reborn in our spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God helps us be that man and woman of God that He wants us to be. Walking through life to take our chance at the end because I've been pretty good is not going to get it done on Judgment Day. That's why I care about MTD. That's why I care about people. We're going through life being good people, and that's wonderful. Even believing, subscribing with a head knowledge to God a little bit, that's wonderful. But if we're ever going to be part of His kingdom, now and forever, we've got to be born again in our spirit. We've got to trust Christ as Lord. We've got to repent of our sin. We've got to surrender to Jesus and take that invitation seriously that says, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Then we're part of His kingdom, and we get to be with Him now and forever. I don't mean to throw cold water on eternal plans, but friends, I want people to know it's Jesus is the way to heaven. I like to see good people too. I like to be good even once in a while. But it's going to take more than that for Jim to be good to get to heaven. I must be born again. I must be surrendered to Christ. I must step out of the ways of the world and into the light of Jesus. When He said, come follow me, He asked Matthew and the fishermen and the rest of them from all time to come and genuinely follow. And I was going to conclude with, and I'm going to do it really quick. I wanted to be done before this. I was going to conclude with Revelation 3:1-6. That is the church of Sardis that was known as the dead church. I was just going to conclude with that because I wanted to say maybe I don't want the church to be like the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis was known as the dead church. Here's what Jesus said when He told John to write to him. These things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. Maybe I just don't want the church of God to be dead. You know what He's saying? You look alive to your neighbors. You look like you got something going on to the people uptown. But I know your heart. I know what's in here. And you're dead. Maybe I just want us to be very aware of how to live and be alive in Jesus. And I don't want the church, not this church, not the next one, not the next one, not the church of Jesus Christ, to be guilty or fall into this category that Sardis fell into. You have a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. And so, brothers and sisters, why do I care about things like MTD? I don't know. I guess I want people to know Jesus. I guess I want people to be able to just experience the newness and the beauty and the freshness of Jesus the Christ and be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit and just know God's love in such an intimate and beautiful way. I guess that's what I want people to realize and know and experience. And so, I hope that if nothing else, I can share with you the truth from the Scripture, and we see and hear from the Spirit of God what the truth really is in Jesus.